Ladies and gentlemen, you have waited all week.
Yeah, Boogie Page. Throwing it down for things BMX is ready. I know I am. Check the ATB Airways. Let's kick it. All things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe, kick back and relax. And it's all things BMX. It's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if we need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX are streaming to you. To post up on your couch, screencast to YouTube. It's gonna be fun, it will be a blast. You gotta do much, but kick back and relax. They come into you live from a studio, or they might be at the track, man, you never know. So don't go anywhere when my rounds are done, cause the show's just starting, let's have some fun. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. So like and subscribe, kick back and relax. All things BMX got the boogeyman's back, so I wrote them this track to send some love back. JT, Melissa, Chris, and Paul, DJ Damon, kinda get it, entertain y'all. And I wonder who they'll have on the show as a guest. I bet some are good, who's gonna impress? Guess I will just have to wait and see. Let's get the show going and start the party. I said it's all thanks BMX, it's a BMX show. Unlike the rest, if you need some info, they got the best. Like and subscribe.
Welcome to the All Things BMX Show, Tuesday night edition. It's episode 167. It's the Slamma episode. We got Barry Nobles coming in with us tonight. Got a little pre-show gate clinic, didn't we?
Yeah.
Reminded us how terrible our gates are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
I had that gut feeling about the time difference.
Right?
And we want to welcome Barry Nobles into the show. Barry, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Happy to have you on and glad you could join in with us this evening. Know you're prepping to get ready to go over to the Worlds, and good luck from all of us here.
Yeah. Yep. We'll be cheering you on from over here.
Yeah, with that, I want to let everybody know that Barry's joined us on the Danger Snack video chat line. So he's joining us, and if you guys don't know the difference between Danger Snack, it is the snack that gets you between dragging ass and hauling ass. And act now, you go to the website, you can order your own Danger Snack, use the discount code SHITSHOW. Given to us by Brian Dorsey himself when he was on the show, and you'll get a discount on your Danger Snacks. Yep. The opening song is brought to you by Boogeyman himself. You guys check him out, and you guys don't forget you can support the show if you're watching on Facebook right now, right below. Click on Sun Stars. That's one way to support the show. Or you can head over to our Bias Coffee page and help us out. Chris and I are sitting at the DeSoto BMX desk. Melissa's back at the Gate 9 producer's perch. And the show's chat is sponsored by BMX Rocks Photography. And our chat question for tonight is, who is your elite women world's podium pick? So the get them in the chat, let us know. And it's also posted on social media in 10 minutes. All right, so you can put your answers up there. Barry, who's your pick for elite women for the Worlds?
For the win, podium is, I think, too deep about that one. My gut says Elise. You know, we need to have a U.S. rider up there. Doesn't matter what class, we need to have a U.S. rider up top. And I think Elise is still pulling hard, and she has a good chance to take it.
Yeah.
Who do you think, Chris?
Well, I'm kind of along the same lines. In U.S., since Barry took Elise, I'll go with Felicia.
Oh, I figured you'd follow along. Melissa, how about you?
I don't have a strong pick.
No,
the truth. Her name just left my brain. The Great Britain rider,
Bethany Shriver.
That's probably who I would pick.
Oh,
the same thing. I get put on the spot too. I just
yeah. Like, boom. There goes the name.
You know what? Who's that?
All right.
Who is that person?
I will. Oops.
Yeah, you got to tune in.
I will. I'm going to hold my pick for social media.
Are you?
No, I'm going with Elise.
Come on.
All right.
Who?
Elise.
Oh, that was too easy, dude.
I didn't pitch a podium, though.
Winner, winner.
I think the podium is going to be Elise, Felice, and Bethany.
You think so?
I hope so.
That would not surprise me.
I don't know.
That would be nice.
All right, Chris.
Hey.
What's the one question we ask every guest, Chris?
All right, here we go. Well, welcome to the show, Barry. First question we always ask. How did you find out about getting involved in the sport of BMX?
Oh, it's all I know. I first started racing when I was 3 years old. So,
whoa.
My dad took me out to the track. I have these photos of me on this tiny little 16 inch. And yeah, that was the late 80s. Sport was kind of dying off, and especially in Montgomery, Alabama. I raced two times. I got both my trophies still on the wall. And stopped racing, continued to ride my bike up until I was about 10 years old. We found a new track, which is still to this day my local track, and still ride out there today. And that's where it all started, Oak Mountain BMX.
Oak Mountain. Okay.
Fantastic. Cool.
So when was your first, how did you do the first time you raced?
I was on a 16 inch. It was about watching my daughter ride. And the photos I have, I'm like the only one coming down the last straightaway, and my dad's running in front of me. So,
right.
I got the first place trophy, but I'm sure that's because I was the only one in the class. Right. Well, but then my first official race when I was 10 years old, I got second.
Okay.
And I got second. My brother got first. And I just remember it like it was yesterday. I was just so heated that he won his race and I didn't win mine. And I've always been very competitive. So
yeah,
it's been there from an early age.
Oh, that's cool. So sponsorship wise, when did you first start getting, a bike shop or a local company, anything like that? When did that start happening for you?
My first legit sponsor was Claiborne Bicycles when I was 13. They're out of Raglan, Alabama, which is a little north of me.
Okay.
Richard Bunt was just a local guy on this company. And, he saw the potential, and just took a chance on me. And I mean, my whole career is, pretty much got kickstarted from the help of Richard Bunt at Claiborne Bicycles. And, I was with him up until my pro days. That was my first sponsor, and I was with him up until I was winning AA races. So he was a huge part of my career.
Yeah, that's something you don't hear a lot of nowadays, where you stick with the same group for a long period of time.
I'm a Southern boy. We know loyalty. I stick with a lot. I got a lot of long time sponsors because. If you take a chance on me, I'm going to give you everything, and I'm not going to jump ship for nothing unless it's like something huge. So,
right.
I've stuck around with a lot of brands, and I'm sure. And because of that is probably why I'm still doing what I do at 36 years old.
How long have you been with Fly?
This year is 20 years. It's my 20th contract.
Wow.
Dang. That's about time to get a watch from those guys.
Fly and Maxis are my longest ones. 20 years. I got with them when I was 15 years old.
Wow. That's awesome, man.
Well, started like getting hooked up with them. And then I think contract started about 17. So, yeah.
That's cool.
I'm on my 20th year.
Wow. How involved are you with Fly when it comes to like the input on the like race pants and stuff?
They're such a big company now. I have zero involvement when it comes to that. Like back years and years ago, we could have some say. And I was in a lot of discussions when the Works helmet came out. But that was really it. And honestly, it was easier years ago, like 10 years ago to be involved that much, but they're just such a big company and they're so far ahead. Like, they just dropped 2024 stuff, but they're designing 2026 stuff already, So it's you can't even keep up.
That's wild.
Well, that's like pretty awesome.
How do they know what colors are going to be big in 26?
They make it popular, Chris.
that's true.
Yeah. Right? Sometimes they don't. They may not just Fly, but other companies, like sometimes you'll come out with something and it's like, because it was the hot color. And then it's like, this color? And like, that died last year, But it's like, they were 2 years ahead of that. So I've seen multiple other companies do it too. It's just,
well, you guys at Chase, you know, BRG with that teal and black, you know, that just took off. I think all the other companies are trying to catch up to that. Now you're starting to see all these other guys running those colors now, but you guys have had that for a couple 3 years now.
Yeah. Well, this is our second season in the teal. And it was kind of a blessing for me just because of my Mercedes deal and then it being the same color as the F1 team. And then Pete, the team main guy at Chase, he's a big F1 fan, and it was just a good color, you know. And I think it was just a good coincidence that it linked up with myself. But yeah, it was just pop. And with team stuff, you can do that stuff on the fly, you know. Like if we wanted to change our unit colors for next year, we could just drop it at Grands this year. Like, hey, let's just get jerseys made, because everything else revolves around what are the newest pant and helmet and all that, you know. So if you can kind of blend your team around that, or if you have like the schedule we were just talking about, if you can get the early look of the 2024 gear, the 25 gear, you can base your next jerseys off that stuff.
That I get into that stuff. I think that's kind of cool.
I like that stuff too. I like that side of things as well.
Yeah, I like to have like that one off or something that nobody else has, you know, kind of stuff. So yeah, that's
like
me.
A powder blue Supercross.
It's not powder blue.
Yeah, whatever.
It's anodized blue.
Okay. Speaking of your design part, you just launched your apparel line, and I want to make sure we talked about that before we get too far in. How's sales going with that? We watched Melissa and I watched the YouTube video you did the other night. Yeah,
the little promo on the t-shirts. That was cool.
Yeah. Thanks. No, it's been good. We got shoot, nearly half of them are gone. All those stacks you see behind me, all those were full just the other day. And so they're moving.
Yeah.
So we'll get a few more of those, and then we'll start pushing the next design we have in the works. And I mean, it started as just like a merch thing, you know, people would request it, and it wasn't really a thing I wanted to do at first. And I did it, like say 2 years ago. My year before Chat, or my first season back, had a lot of requests from it for YouTube, and so I just got some cool shirts made. I drew something up and just did it, and it was cool, you know. I mean, I sold out of them, so I was super grateful for everybody being into it. But it was just a basic t-shirt. I'm so picky about what I wear anyways, and it's like I didn't really want to wear it, and if I don't want to wear it, why would I sell it to anyone, or why would they want to buy it, you know?
Right.
So I thought, I mean, let's capitalize on it and just push this brand. And I want it to be more than just Barry Nobles. I want 9to5 to be its own brand, not really attached to Barry Nobles in the long run. So we went ahead and got it all trademarked and legit, and it's taken me a few months because I had to research a lot of nice fabric t-shirts when you guys saw the video. And we put a lot of effort into getting some nice shirts, and now I actually genuinely wear this shirt because they feel good. You know, I can go work out in them, I can sweat in them. It doesn't feel like I'm just wearing a piece of cardboard. And then it's like a normal price t-shirt, not these ridiculous price t-shirts. So that was another thing. I don't want to sell a t-shirt for something ridiculous, you know? So I had to find a good quality shirt that was also at a good price point.
Well,
it's been a fun deal.
Yeah, you're putting your name on it, so it should represent you. You know, you're a person. So if somebody wants to,
my wife Kelsey's so good about that stuff, I kind of leave it in her hands. Like, this is your project. Like, I'll push it and do all this, but I'm gonna let you really kind of, you do all the outsourcing, and I'll test it. And if I like it, I'll just give the okay. You know,
there you go. Hey, yeah. So if somebody wants to order a 9to5 t-shirt, where do they go?
9to5rideco.com.
All right.
Reason. The website's in the chat, and it'll also be in the show notes for you guys that are listening after the live show. They'll be written there, so you got to do is scroll to the bottom, click on it. It'll take you right over to the website, and you can order.
There you go.
Yeah, the logo turned out killer.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. What we like, we get this one, and then we have another one we have a fourth design that's coming out. Mm. I don't think I have one right here I would show you, but it's another clip. Well, it's actually the same logo. It's on the side of the trailer, so...
That can be a process to try to get that all ironed out and get it laid just the way you want. And we can relate.
I'm sure you can. I like to run myself dry and like run myself on fumes. So
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, there you go. Justin's got him up on the corner there.
Nice. Yeah, that's the kids one. That's like the fan shirt. It's got the number plate on the back. And we had good feedback with that one from adults. I only got that one done in kids. Because again, like I want it to be like its own brand. I don't want it to be so associated. Just I don't want it to scream Barry Nobles when you look at it, you know. So I did the number plate one for the kids, but some adults are stoked on them too. So we're gonna do an adult line of those eventually as well.
So is that the one that the Sprocket one? Is that the one you trademarked?
They all are.
They all are. They all, yeah. That's a lot of work too.
Good deal. Yeah.
It's a good way to protect your brand though.
Yeah. Got to do it. Yeah. Oh, those are sweet. All right.
Thank you.
So, so get over there, order your new 9.5 Rideco shirt there and get yourself one of them. So how did you get hooked up with Mercedes?
They just reached out to me. The number one question everybody asks.
We get that out of the way real quick here. So they just reached out.
Yeah, no, that's fun. No, you know, it's funny because I did a podcast recently. They asked the same thing, and I've never actually asked the guys how they found me, but they reached out to me. I was asked to do this. I never know what to call it. My best way to relate it to the BMX world, it's like an inner bike for vans.
Okay.
And like camper vans. It was right when COVID happened, so everything was virtual. It was like a first time using Zoom. And so they're like, hey, we got this thing, this show, this online show that we're doing. And yeah, it's just, I mean, it's kind of like an inner bike. It's the only way I can describe it. They had a group of people, like higher profile people. They just did one with sedans with Martha Stewart, Jay Leno, a couple other people I didn't know, like just bigger profiles. And this one was for the vans department. Mercedes Germany had just kind of started the Mercedes-Benz Vans USA. And so it was a strictly department for the van stuff. So yeah, they did this for the vans. They picked myself, Wee Man from Jackass, an NBA player, I don't remember his name, some family that was like had a big following that literally like they were over in like Asia or something. They had their van shipped. It's like a family of five. It was crazy.
Oh my god!
And a family of five living in this van, and they just travel literally all over the world. It was incredible. And then one other one, I forget. And yeah, we just did this whole thing where it was honestly just like this. You know, they have a whole show. People can tune in, and then they would go to each one of us, and like we'd give whole tours of our van, and we wrapped that up. Wow. And I just had, when I got the email, it was kind of like I just had that gut feeling, like whatever this is, there was no direction if it was going to go anywhere. I have to do it, and have to do it good. And about a month later, I got a call. They wanted to work with me a little further, and then it just started snowballing from there. Because at the time, I wasn't even racing BMX again. Like that was through COVID, and I hadn't even done the 2020 comeback deal yet. And
doing the mountain bike stuff then, right?
Snowballed. Yeah, freestyle mountain bike stuff. But I mean, I had a lot of social media presence of traveling in my van with the family. And that's what they wanted. They knew I was an outdoorsy guy. They knew I was an athlete. They didn't really care so much about the athlete side or like the competition side. It's just, it was what I was doing, the journey to those events, you know?
Huh.
And so that started, and I mean, it was like almost a year in like the process of getting it, because they're such a corporate company. It was probably like 8 or 9 months of back and forth and negotiating and how we're going to do. And it's all new to them, right? They haven't done this program before. So they were learning just as much as I was about them. And, they finally settled the deal at, right before the Cobb County National. And they're actually based out of South Carolina, but they have a head office in Atlanta as well. So one of the guys came out and like kind of gave me my first Mercedes hat, and we signed all the paperwork and made it all legit. And then it turned, then it turned into a commercial. And then, it's been, those guys have completely changed my life, and it's been, I owe everything to them, those guys. They were
that's
very
that's really that cool, dude. That's really cool. Good for you, man.
I'm curious. How many consecutive nights have you ever spent in the Sprinter van?
I just got back from a 3-week trip where I drove to Canada.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, granted, it wasn't 3 weeks in the van.
Okay.
Well. Every night, because we were at my wife's family's house for 5 days.
Okay.
So we had like 5 or 6 nights in a bed. But yeah, we've done easily two weeks straight has probably been our longest haul living out of the van.
That's
and 2 weeks is our cutoff. That's our max.
For a happy marriage.
So you guys see me on social media, we're on 2 weeks. Like, no, I'm on my last straw.
That's it.
We can't do anymore, you know? But it was good. That was a 3-week trip with a little break in the middle. So
That's a long time in a vehicle.
That is awesome, though. Huh. That's a good deal.
Especially with a 2-year-old.
Yeah, well, oh, yeah. I was going to ask how your daughter did.
Right now.
Yeah.
They still nap it, too. It makes it easier.
Going back to that 2020, what was your decision leaving mountain biking and coming back into BMX?
I was bored. There was
really?
Nothing going on, you know? I felt like I was just living behind social media, and I hated it. You know, I mean, everyone had hard times through COVID, right? And it's just the crank. I did crank when COVID happened. I was actually in New Zealand when it finally hit. I was in New Zealand. And the first one was, what was it? Italy?
Oh.
I think it was an Italian rider that he landed in New Zealand and they put him in a hotel for 2 weeks straight for 14 days because he came from Italy. And that's when we were like, this is kind of weird. You know, like I'm mid competition and this stuff is kind of happening and we're learning about literally every day we get a new update. And yeah, this dude flies in, he's stuck in the hotel, can't leave the hotel. We're like, wow, this is gnarly, you know? And luckily I flew home and I did, because about a week or so later is when the world started to shut down. So I would have got stuck wherever. I was stuck in New Zealand somewhere. And I made it home. That was obviously the end of, that was the first stop for the Crankwork series that year. And a little bit of time went by. We had like a Zoom meeting with just a bunch of the like main athletes on Crankworks and the Crankworks organizers. And we all chatted. They're Canadian based and I'm in Alabama, so our views were very, very different on things. And so I was kind of like sitting here like, this ain't happening. not hearing everything they're saying, like there ain't no way we're running a competition anytime soon. And it is what it is, you know. I was like, well, that's it. Like, hopefully it goes back in 6 months. Hopefully the world goes back normal in 6 months. And my main focus was getting ready for the next X game, dirt jump contest, to go to X Games again. And everything stopped, right? And then June, July is when ABA sent out an email saying winner take all championship. And USA BMX, they weren't going to let a COVID, a little virus stop them, right? So they were, let's go, still racing and stuff. I'm like, this is awesome. With as crazy as the world was at the time, not that it's any worse now, but it's just everybody freaking out. They're still running these nationals, and I was loving it.
Yeah.
They did this 2020 comeback, or 2020 winner take all championship, and I hadn't raced since my last race was Grands 2017. So we're in 2020 at this point. I'm like, I still rode, you know, like I still did all the stuff, because my BMX stuff is what helped me have some strengths in mountain biking and stuff. So, I mean, I didn't train at the level I am now, and I didn't do gate starts and all that. So I'm like, dude, I got 6 months till November. Like, I'll just go race vet and have a good time. You know, like, I don't want to get on the gate with the elite guys. Let's just go have fun with it. Literally thinking like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go back to what I was doing. You know, I love BMX, but right. I just had goals. I really wanted to, I wanted another shot at X Games, and here we are 3 years later, deeper and deeper as a racer than I ever have been.
That's cool, man.
What was what was one of your favorite mountain bike events that you your favorite
mountain bike? Probably Rotorua Crankworks. I mean, Crankworks events are awesome, you know. It's I've done a lot of stuff, done a lot of mountain bike events, I've done a lot of BMX events, dirt jump events, and Oh, still nothing compares to a BMX race, man. It really made me miss. It's just different. It's such a different world, you know? And I would say, yeah. No, not Rotorua. Rotorua was awesome because it's a beautiful, just a beautiful country. You're at a such an amazing location for this mountain bike event festival. But Whistler by far. Whistler is a dream come true. It doesn't matter your skill level. Anyone that rides any kind of bike, you go to Whistler and you're gonna have just the time of your life, the most fun you can ever have on a bicycle. So yeah, I would say Crankworx Whistler is by far. It's like a bucket. It should be a bucket list for any bicycle rider. Doesn't matter what discipline you do.
Really?
They did you watch the style here? Was it Saturday? They had the big hour and long delay. Did you happen to catch any of that when you're on the road up at Whistler?
In Whistler, the
Yeah.
delay.
Yeah. Did you catch
I always watch the life. I always wait
replay?
till it's
Okay.
over,
Well, they had to
just so I
do
can rewind and fast forward. So no, I missed it. It
Well,
was for a slope style. They had
slope
a big
style.
delay, right?
That's
I'm
what I
talking
meant.
about.
Yep, not speed and stuff. Well, they had such a delay, they had to start showing the rest of the facility. And I had no idea how much there was there to, I had a somewhat from hearing people talk, but like what you said, it's a bucket list. That delay and them showing all the other areas to ride instantly went right up the bucket list.
Yeah, it
Wow.
should be. What was the actual delay? Well, I can't hear him talk
Wind.
about it, but I'm zipping through it.
It was wind, and then it turned into sun. So they had a wind delay,
Okay.
and then because it ran so long, they had to wait for the sun to settle down because it was in the face of a lot of the takeoffs.
And then they did the one run because of that,
Yep.
right?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Crazy.
When you were competing in Crankworx, did you have a certain discipline that you enjoyed more than the other?
Speed and style. Speed and style
Really?
was
Okay.
my bread and butter. It was just, I mean, I've always had such a freestyle passion. It was just the discipline for my personality. It didn't fit me any better. It's I still would like to do some crank works in the future. Just I haven't let it go. I just the things are going too good right now to actually, and then the schedules overlap a lot. But yeah, I do want to do one. But at this point, the speed and style has advanced so much. I mean, those dudes are doing such gnarly tricks. Like, I couldn't compete. I might be able to like make it into the final eight. But if I'm doing an event, I want to be there for at least the podium spot. To be potential podium capable. And those dudes are so insane now. Like the speed is no problem, but the tricks are just so advanced now. It's like, yeah, no thanks.
Nice.
Oh man.
So,
Not
well,
that I don't have big tricks, but the combos are just they're just doing this,
it's
Right.
video game level now.
Yeah,
it is.
We'll kind of transition back into BMX. Had you always wanted, when you started out racing, got into it, and got those first few sponsorships, was being a pro the goal for you?
Yeah, that was it's funny you asked that because I've kind of called older I get, I just analyze my whole I've analyzed my career a lot and because I'm trying to learn from the athlete I am now so I can pass on and why I've made decisions that I've made and where it's taken me and what path. But yes, I always wanted to be a pro. I never, I don't have any memories of like, I want to be the champion. I want to be number one, like a Connor Fields has had or just any of your champions, but I just wanted to be, my goal was always just to be a pro and make a living around my bike. And I did that, it's, and I say that because I've looked back at so many times, I've gotten frustrated for not having this and frustrated not getting that. But at the end of the day, I've actually conquered the real goal, the number one goal as a kid. So it's like you get frustrated on so many things you don't achieve, but then you have to ask yourself, well, was that, we all want to win, right? But was that the real goal? Like I never had the passion to go to Olympics, but that's just what we, all right, cool, we're going to Olympics. But I had a passion to go to X Games. So when I finally checked that box, that was a dream come true. And that's kind of around that last couple of years when that's how my brain starts working about things and start really figuring out what's important and where do the real goals lie,
Was that 2019 when you're in the dirt jump in Minnesota?
2019, correct. Yep, Minneapolis, the last stadium proper Stadium X Games.
I met you there.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, cool.
It was kind of like this. Hi, Barry.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, and we actually talked for a few minutes because you'd explained how you were there, how you were there and everything, and it was pretty cool. Because we took my buddy and his kid was celebrating his birthday, so that's why we went out there. And I was
very
like,
cool.
I watched this guy right here. He's a racer guy. He's out there killing it. Yeah, so it's pretty. Yeah, we sat.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's all
right. And you're right.
A lot of people don't even remember I did it. You know, like that was such a high point of my career right there, and I didn't get anywhere near the goal was just to be in the final and landed on my head first go.
But that was a wild course, the jump on berm, jump off.
Yeah,
just the whole that was a pretty cool experience, because who I went with, like him and I watched the first X Games together, and to see where it was there in the where the foot what the football team plays up there.
Oh,
Vikings.
Minnesota Vikings.
I'm like, holy jeez, oh Pete's, and the and you know, you were out there the flat track the last day. They had the flat track race. You were in that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the flat track as well. Yeah,
that's right. That's why I wouldn't let him leave.
First X Games athlete to do a bike or two different disciplines.
There you go.
Oh. Yeah. Really? I don't get to take that credit too often, so I got to throw that in there when I can, you know?
You earned it.
That was
great.
And I say that because they said it was someone the following year they said, and I was like, wait a minute. No, I did that the year before.
It was, man, that was cool. And yeah, what did they do? They don't no they're not in the arenas anymore, right? Because the COVID, they did it kind of here
no,
and there, and now they're just
They just had X Games California a couple weeks ago. It was the first one that felt like X Games again, mm-hmm. at least on TV. It wasn't in the stadium; it was outside. But who knows? I mean that whole thing is all TV based anyway, so everything is mm-hmm. like they literally move the crowd. They have the crowd gather, or if you were there, yeah. like. They put you in a section and all the cameras show that section of crowd, but there's like no one else in the stadium. No. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Like when,
oh, that's
yeah.
wild.
We went to watch.
Very TV focused.
Yeah. Like when he was in the dirt jumps, there was like everyone just crunch into this area. And then when the mega ramp, they wanted everyone in this area or down on the floor. Like you'd be on the floor. Wow. Yeah, it was.
I guess that makes sense. Experience. I mean, if you're going to get sponsors and stuff for television, you got to show a full stadium, I guess. Yeah. Even if it's not
still cool weather, I mean, you're still just sitting in the crowd, or whatever. It's X Games, you know. Like, God, that's such a cool event, you know. I love that one.
Melissa's heard hundreds of hours of my X Games trip.
So have I.
Yeah, yeah.
not that that's a bad thing, because no. I find it interesting, but yeah, it's awesome.
So when desire to be pro, you made a living on it. When you were amateur, what were some of the titles you won when you were running amateur?
I won world championships in 2003. So, actually this is the 20th year anniversary this year. So this year at Worlds, which is kind of cool. But yeah, won Worlds at 16 years old. It was a 17 plus class. That's it. No other titles. Alabama state title, state champ over 20 years in a row. But, nothing really, but like regional, which is Gold Cup now, but mm-hmm. never national. A bunch of national number twos. I would always be leading the expert class, leading the NBL grands, and mm-hmm. some ABA kid would come in and beat me. And like Danny Calawag, he would always be one that'd come in. Danny and Mike Moeller, you guys remember him, he's a croupy yep. rider. Yep. Every year they would show up to grands and take it, and they'd just light us up.
So you raced mostly MBL back in the amateur days?
Yeah, I was a big MBL kid. I didn't race ABA until I was pro.
Well, yeah, because you're east. It's basically east west, right? I mean, in a nutshell,
right? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
yeah, east east.
Yeah, west. I would go out to like the Nevada race, MBL National, Mesquite or Boulder or somewhere, wherever it was, or Nellis, and Nellis. I would go out and race. That would be like a one West Coast MBL race every year. And but yeah, I was a big NBL kid. I would race the ABA race in Atlanta. There was an indoor they would do every year. I raced it like two or three times, and it just really wasn't my thing. It was a different style of BMX racing.
Yeah.
All right, here's a burning question. Louisville or Tulsa?
Louisville, Nat. I'm assuming you're talking about the track?
The Grands.
Oh, Grand. Oh,
sorry, yeah.
NBL Grands all day.
Oh, really?
Without it. I love Tulsa. Tulsa's right. A great experience. But, man, NBL Grands, that track, like.
It's fun to ride.
Any NBL guy will probably vouch for me on that one. NBL Grands was sick. Yeah. Just big track, you know. And I don't know how I'm sure the rider count wasn't anywhere near Tulsa, but.
Yeah.
Two different animals, you know. They're actually really hard to even compare those two because they're so different. But if I had to pick one to come back, I mean, I've done a lot of years in Tulsa. I would love to see a Grands at Derby City again.
Yeah,
you get to wake up 10 feet from the track, just wake up hearing the gate fall down in your tent.
Oh yeah, if you're camping at the track.
I love Louisville.
So you're headed out? Is it tomorrow?
I believe. Yep, tomorrow afternoon.
All right. And what class are you going to be competing in?
Masters.
All right.
So is that their equivalent of Vet Pro? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's just 30 plus class. And they get it's still a rainbow jersey, but I think it's like a different style rainbow jersey. It's like, I haven't even looked at it. I remember seeing photos of the guy last year and it was a rainbow jersey, but it didn't look the same. But I remember like years ago, it was the same rainbow jersey, but it was blue instead of white.
Huh.
So yeah. It wasn't really on the radar. My focus was Rock Hill Worlds. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care so much about racing Master Worlds, you know. And I was like, well, when Worlds is in US, I'm gonna have to race that one. I'm not gonna fund myself to go race Masters overseas. And then I've been doing the stuff with the USA Cycling Program, helping out at World Cups and their training camps and stuff. So I got asked to do Worlds. And then I was like, oh, cool. I'll go to Worlds. And then Jamie Staff said, well, you're going to be there. You can race too if you want, because it's like 3 days before your elites. So I kind of thought about it for a little bit. And then I finally, after Rock Hill this year, I've gone three main events in a row, not even making it out of the first turn. So as much as Rock Hill used to be my favorite track when I rode the Big Hill, now I hate that place. I hate that first straight and first turn is just not made for the speeds that we're going. And so then I was like, dude, I don't even want to race the national at the end of the year, much less world champs there, especially if it's like my last world champs, put all my eggs into this US stop. And then I had this opportunity a few months ago. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Let's do that. All my focus is going to start being training for Worlds. And now I'm super motivated. Now I really want to take it. You know, it's, it's just another title I've never had. So I'm like, well, let's just be another jersey for the wall, you know? So that's my motivation. I want to see it up
going there.
There.
Might as well give it all you got.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been nice. I haven't raced since Nashville. After Nashville, I skipped the Reno race because I wanted to have a good few months. And I kind of started my world block before Nashville. And just because I was like, I'm going to train through this race, whether I'm tired or not. I want to feel good. I want to be the best top shape by Worlds. And that's as of my numbers today, my gates earlier, my gym session, everything's right on track. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Feeling good.
We'll be cheering you on from over here.
Thank you.
We'll do a real quick chat. We'll do a chat check-in right now. That's brought to you by BMX Rocks. And it's been very busy in the chat room.
Oh, I bet.
And again, right now is your time. If you got questions, you got shout-outs you guys want, put them in there. Melissa, how's it been?
Yeah, doing good. Trying to stay on top of it anyways. All right, I'm going to say hi to Rick Carter, Sean Gifford, Robert Cardoza, all the usual suspects tuning in. Brandon Dowler says, what's up, ATB? Calvary BMX is in the house. Mr. Brian Fell also tuning in over on YouTube and wanted me to ask Barry about the cheetah thong. I don't know if you want to share the answer or not, but
I did a cribs. You guys can watch the DVD if you know, you know.
Okay.
But I did a cribs thing and I got out. I did the whole thing like a leopard thong. It was back when Jackass was big and when I was a kid. I mean, I still now, but when I was young, I had a shaved head, and I got everyone thought I look like Steve-O's little brother.
Yeah, you know, it's funny with the mustache on your face. I kind of can see that.
Yeah,
I can see nice. That a little bit. All right, hi to Paul Remington tuning in. What's up, ATB? Martin Kennard is tuning in from Florida. He says Elise for the win to answer the question. Seth Harmon is also complimentary of your mustache, saying that it's on point. let's see. Robert Cardoza is echoing my Bethany vote, which Billy then says is very un-American of me. But that's okay. Zach Goss, what's up? He's in over on Facebook. Rick says he's got Shriver, Simpson, and Smulders for the podium. Let's see, Carl Roney.
Never Kyle Smulders.
Yeah. Hi to Carl Roney. He's tuning in. He's excited that Waterford got the Stars and Stripes National. He noticed that.
You don't even race, bro. About time to get that super awesome airbrush bike back out, Carl.
Right.
Get that bike out, son.
Chase, a.k.a. Low and Slow, over on YouTube, says hello. He's going with Elise, or actually any of them would be a strong pick. Hi to Jeff Schroeder. He's tuning in. Mo Collins is in, and I know he's got a question coming up as I keep going through here. For anybody that didn't notice, USA BMX has posted the 2024 national schedule, so go check it out. Hi to Noah Robinson. He says, what's up, homies? He's got a big weekend coming up with another Michigan State qualifier up here this weekend, the track he helps out at. Hi to Josh Blair over on YouTube. Says, what's up, fam? Nathan Hathcock is also tuning in. We appreciate you. Martin Kennard says, great to see Barry on the show. Hello, ATB family. Hi to Harl Florida. They're also tuning in with us, as is Joe Rincon over on YouTube. Damon Tucson, we miss you. He says, hello, family. Let's see. What did Brandon says, welcome to the show, Barry. Just recently found out that the company that built your Mercedes van is the company that he works for. So he thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, no way. Cool. Very
that's,
cool.
That's when the world gets a little bit smaller.
Yeah, right? That's cool.
Hi,
shoot me a message. I don't know what you do over there.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it. You heard that, Brandon. Ryan Baumgartner, hi. He's down in Florida tuning in. Okay, here's Mo's question. Barry, what is your training regimen for Worlds? Actually, we might want to wait and have you answer this when I'm all done. But what's your training regimen for the Worlds, Ben? For the older riders with limited time for training, what do you think is most important? Gym weights, sprints, skates, track, practice, or something else?
Oh, if you're limited time, I mean, nothing gets more specific than on the bike, you know, sprint training or track. It's if you have to choose, obviously you want to get strong up in the gym, but you can be strong, but not have it transfer to the bike. So if you only have one to pick from, I would say go do your sprints and get the track time in when you can.
Well, that's good advice.
Depends on where your weaknesses are, you know, too. It's like every rider is so different. You might have someone with a strong sprint but can't get around the track good, or vice versa. So just kind of focus on your weaknesses when you got to pick, if you only can pick one and with limited time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Write that down, Chris.
Yes, you need the strongest guy in the world in the gym. If you can't move those pedal fast, then it ain't going to help you.
That's true. That's true. So this is kind of exciting. This is a new one for us. We're going to say hi to Nissan Dory over on YouTube, and they are saying hello from Northern Ireland, this point, I'm not sure is a country that we had reached out to. So we'll have to check our map and see, but we're glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, they're the first ones to be in the chat check-in. How's that?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Hi to Doreen Payne and Scott Wire.
I got your note, Justin.
let's see. Brian Fell. Oh, Len Novak tuning in over on Facebook. He says, what up, everyone? Doing the mad scramble, and they're heading to the airport. Next stop is the UK for them. So they're on their way. Our good pal Justin Schultz is checking in over on YouTube. Mark Scott says Willow for the win on Elite Balance Bikes.
Which I don't know about that. She don't like to go too fast.
She's still in the early phase.
Right.
Our viewer from Northern Ireland wanted to know, have you ever raced motocross?
Babe? No. I've ridden a lot of motocross earlier, like in my early days. My parents just never allowed me to actually race. I could ride as much as I wanted, go to the track, but I couldn't race. And I didn't come, like, that's such an expensive sport too. It's like, my family cannot do that one. So yeah, but I'm glad I went the direction I did. And I mean, a lot of things can happen as in riding that class in that discipline, you know? So,
right.
I didn't want to get hurt. Absolutely. Don't need to get hurt. I watched a close buddy get injured, and that was kind of when I hung that up.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. We want to say hi to Ray Gomez. They are watching. They're late watching because they've been training in Okahele. So that's good. That's a good excuse.
Thank you, really. Jealous.
He said hello to you, Barry, but then also thanks for the great shirts. So I'm guessing
they're glad you like them.
Yeah, they're a connoisseur. So okay. Hi to Mark Anthony. Let me see if I can get down here a few more.
Wow, we do have a lot of people in there tonight, don't we? Holy cow. That's awesome.
All right, Low and Slow wants to know, if Barry wasn't with Chase, what company would he like to be with?
I would like to be with Chase if I wasn't with Chase.
There you go.
That is
probably
that's an honest question. Yeah. Here. Like that's Chase is the pinnacle, at least in my book. I never thought I'd be good enough to ride for that team. So it was never even a goal because it's like, oh, it's like riding for GT when I was a kid, you know, like that just wasn't gonna happen and it happened. So I'm stoked. I love being a part of this team. This is F1 team at BMX.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah.
All right, our friends Shannon Love. So Shannon says, my son Bram wants to know, what age did you start racing and what bike did you start on?
I started at 3, but I don't like to count that. I was on a little cheap 16-inch, but officially started again when I was 10 years old on a GT Dyna with mag wheels.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, yellow GT Dyna is the bike I wish I would have never gotten rid of, just to still have it today, you know? Just to
hang it on the wall.
Yeah. Those bike regrets will keep you up at night, Hess Justin.
Yeah, right.
Miss Twister over on YouTube says, my family loved meeting you in Houston and wanted to thank you for being so kind to our autistic son. So that's kind of cool.
Awesome.
Jason Warriors is tuning in over on Facebook, as is Dennis Yabera, checking in during his work break, complimenting on all the great shows we've been having lately, all the wonderful guests we've gotten to talk to. Hello to John Pringle. Holly Grote says...
Who?
She's a Richfield Park volunteer. I caught this one.
What? I'm not sure that I get. She says, tell him I was 36, but he is probably more interested in Barry. Oh, okay. What? She's reading along in the chat and thought maybe the question was related to her versus Barry. It probably all, you know, some of the things line up kind of funny, so.
Okay.
But in mine, they all look the same, so it reads funny. I'm sure it was funnier to them.
Okay.
A couple more here. We'll round out. Tony Stillinger is tuning in. Barry is a great ambassador of the sport.
Thank you, Tony.
David D'Artona says, what's up, kids? Tom Brewer. Barry Nobles, please do a clinic before the SE Gold Cup in Dothan. My whole family watches your videos and will be there.
I will be out of town, unfortunately.
Next year.
I thought about it when I heard that schedule, or when I heard that race was going on, but then I saw the dates and I'll be out of town.
You can't do it all.
No.
Can't do it all.
Mark Van Sack says he misses Barry on his Haro.
I don't miss that bike whatsoever.
you have the bike that fits you the best.
Yeah.
All right. Bill Sharp, I haven't said hi to you yet. Oh, Miss Twister says she's in Wichita, Kansas. Chris Strife is her husband, and he's still racing at 60.
Hey,
nice.
So good for him.
That's awesome, man.
O'Hara, Florida says, Barry, if you weren't on Chase, would you ride for O'Hara, Florida?
Oh my God, that dude!
Hey, he's got it.
Joe's working his angle.
He's working. That's right. All right, last two things. Hi to Scott Sloan. Old school says, "Hey there, Mr. Nobles," and then Chase wants to know, how many tutorial videos he has done so far? Oh, I think he's saying he will say he does like the tutorial videos that you've done so far. So thank you for that. Sorry.
Well, thank you. I have a list of more to come. It's just not enough time in the day lately, but I have a lot more in store.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. John Pringle says, how scary was it being down in the mines, Barry?
Nah, it wasn't scary. It wasn't scary, John. It was I didn't really think about it. I didn't really think about the depth until actually I thought about it the next day when my father-in-law and I rode Harley's back out there, and we saw like a pit that they dug that wasn't a mine. It was just a pit they dug. And I was looking into that, and it was so deep I couldn't see the bottom, and it was only like 300 feet deep. And that's when I was like, oh, we were down there. We were deep in the earth. But wow. No, it wasn't claustrophobic or anything like I kind of thought it may, if that's what you're thinking.
Was this on your recent vacation?
Yeah, so we went so my wife is from Thompson, Manitoba, which is like an hour and a half from the polar bear capital of the world, which is 10 hours north of the Canadian border in a small little mining town. They mine nickel, and so my father-in-law, he's a miner, and he's about to retire, so that was kind of like why we did the trip. He's going to retire and move away, so we needed that one last trip to her hometown for her to see it, and I wanted to experience where she came from, you know? So
that's awesome.
Yeah, he pulled some strings and got me underground, and it was a pretty cool experience.
Oh, yeah. Not many people get to do that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think, oh no, two more. Hi to Jen of Gate Bub, Jen Sabrel. Hello, can't talk with Gate 9 number plates, and George Goodall, I think kind of rounds out.
I'll do it.
Yeah, rounds out everybody. So thanks all for right. tuning in, guys. Let me know if you have any other questions for Mr. Nobles.
Yeah, make sure you like and subscribe and all that fun stuff as well.
Question for you. What was the idea with this e-bike you've got that does like 100 miles an hour on the backyard? Like where'd the idea of this come from? And
you know, I'm really glad you asked that because, man, I am a fan of the direction of electric bikes. You know, I mean, I'll never get rid of my hot rod or my Harleys. But man, it's electric. Electric is pretty damn cool. So Razor, which is Billy Griggs, works for Razor, rides for Chase. Razor's one of our main sponsors. And it all started by just, I wanted a couple things just for around the house. So, we could ride Willow around. My wife and I could all ride around. And like a stock Razor, it's pretty slow. It goes like 15 miles an hour. You get about 10, 15 minutes of battery, but they're cool little dirt bikes. And I wanted one of those, thinking, oh, I'll get some cool content. It'll be fun to make some content with it. And I could promote Razor, and just a cool outside of the BMX world sponsorship, you know? And I got it, and it was a little weaker than I expected it to be. And I always tried to do some fun stuff with it. I never had enough speed or the power. And then I finally found a company that I got introduced through Billy for a company that makes all this bolt-on stuff. And yeah, everything on that bike comes from this company called Electro & Co., who actually works directly with Razor, making sure everything's compatible. And so they hooked me up, and I bought a bunch of their stuff. They just gave me a good price. And I went that stock Razor is 500 watts. The motor is a 500 watt motor. Mm-hmm. And it's suspension made for a 40, 50-pound kid, you know? And so I went from a 500-watt motor to an 11,000-kilowatt motor.
Ouch.
So I went from 50. Yeah, I have a full review video coming out on my YouTube about it, but I haven't been able to finish it because they're coming out with this aftermarket extended swing arm. And I really wanted to, I want to do the video with everything they offer for this bike. So they've kind of dragged feet on that, which is unfortunate because I want to have this video live already because I've been posting so much content on this bike. But yeah, dude, it's like I did a full build around this bike and that thing. I've always ridden KLX 110s. When I got rid of, back to the dirt bike question, when I stopped riding moto because my buddy that got injured, I actually traded my YZ250 straight up for a guy with a like a souped up KLX 110. And that was when like all my dirt bike side went to KLX, to pit bike riding. And I wanted to learn backflips on a pit bike, so I went that route. And so I've had them for years. And I just have too many damn toys, you know, and two of them, my wife has one, and I just got so tired of dealing with them. I'm selling them both. $1,500 on Facebook. Come get them. Cause my buddy bought one of those Surons, those bigger. Have you seen those electric bikes?
Nope.
Suron.
Look up Suron. It's a huge thing. I mean, they're especially out in California where I used to live. They're hated because they're taking over the scene out there. Mountain bikers hate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you're insane. A buddy of mine bought one of those. I'm like, holy cow, I need a Suron. I'm getting one. Sold my KLX 110s, like $1,500.
Oh, there you go.
Gonna go my Suron fund. Yeah. And then when I started kind of posting about that, that's when Billy reached out, told me about these upgrades we can do. And now that Razor will smoke that stock Suron right there. And my Razor will blow away my gas powered KLX 110s I used to have. That where I had exhaust. Yeah, it was. Dude, this thing is unreal. It's legitimately scary. I was gonna buy the 5,000-watt motor because it was a little cheaper, and the guy talked me into, dude, just you're gonna want the 11,000 one. Dude, you can't even use it. You can't even use all the power that it has. It is the amount of instant torque.
Oh, the torque
from an electric
yeah.
motor is incredible. Like, it has three settings. It's got, like, just a 1, 2, 3 switch on your handlebar. I only ride it in one. It's only throttle response. It's got the same top-end speed, but it's only, like, how it takes off. You ride it in, like, say, 3, and you gas it in a turn, you'll spin out. It'll stand you up. I accidentally bumped it the other day when I pulled out of my shop and almost looped out, literally 10 feet out of my shop. I just went to get on it and it stood me straight up. I'm just like all hands on the brakes trying to get them to get it down. Oh, wow. Yeah, dude, I love it. I have a couple more things in the works. I can't quite talk about yet, but I got, you're going to see a lot of electric toys coming from me here in the future.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, you need something, you know, something souped up or hooked up. Griggs is your guy, man. He's got all that custom stuff.
Dude, when Billy and I start talking, we'll text for an hour of just sending little books back and forth to each other, you know, like just he's just as much of a kid as I am, and he's got all the cool tooling, you know, at Razor. Right. He just sits there and designs stuff and sends the program to a CNC machine and busts all this stuff out. And
yeah. Dude,
He's I'm jealous of a lot what he does every day.
It's some wild
cool,
stuff.
You know?
We had him on the show quite a while ago now, but it was really interesting to start talking shop with him, man. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fun to chat. That dude has got some stories, you know, he's lived a wild life, and yeah. It's cool we've had good conversations.
Yeah. All right. So go ahead.
So before we forget, I want you to plug the current sponsors and then I got a quick question for you, and then Chris, I'll let you chime in. But I wanted to make sure we plug the sponsors before we get any farther.
All right. Mercedes-Benz, Chase Bicycles, Fly Racing, Maxxis Tires, ODI Grips, my own brand, 9-5, sponsors of the team, Razor, Razor Worldwide, HT Components, KMC Chains, Vans. Yeah, the team has a bunch of good partners, but yeah.
CK.
Thanks to all those guys. They allow me to live the life that I'm very grateful to live.
Right on.
See, kids, that's how you plug your sponsors.
Yes.
So you're back in BMX. Things are going good for you. What's it like now with the daughter picking up the bike And you taking on the role now as kind of being almost a coach with her. How's that made a change for you?
I mean, it's the best change in the world. I've looked forward to being a father for many years. You know, I've always just looked forward to that day. And, oh, man, it's better. It's better than I could have ever imagined. I hope when it go, I can only do this for a few. The level that I'm riding at mentally, I can only do it for a few more years, especially after my crash in November. It's just like, your priorities are so much different when you have a kid, right? So it's like, I don't know. I just always want to be around up here for her, and I've done a lot. It's when that time comes, I hope it kind of snowballs into her being a 5 and under rider, whatever, you know. If she doesn't, that's cool too. But I mean, obviously I would love for her to race BMX. Like if it's any other sport, I can't coach her in. But I mean, I coach a lot of kids to clinics. I've had a lot of conversations with dads, and I've been in the in these chats with kids, but dad as a coach never really works out so good, you know? So I'm constantly kind of taking notes from other dads and other kids and seeing how dads and kids interact. And I want to make sure some of the negative ones, I want to make sure I don't do those, you know, do that, which I don't think I will, because it's just not really in me to be a negative type person, very positive. But it's, I mean, the people closest to you are the hardest ones to train, right? Because you don't want to, they don't really want to listen, or you don't know, right? You know, but a dad can come tell me to tell little Johnny the same thing he's been telling for a month, but he'll listen to me and not dad. And so I'm constantly trying to figure out how am I going to deliver that to her in a way where she wants to actually train. If she's in BMX, you know, it's like, again, if she goes to another sport, then I'm just going to be a fan in the crowd. But fingers crossed, I hope she does stick with the sport, because, I mean, I got a degree in this sport, right? And it's something we all do. And I don't plan to walk away from BMX anytime soon, or just two wheels in general. And so I hope she's into riding. I mean, she's a little, I'm actually, I have a video that I'm going to post when I get off this podcast that you guys will find. It's pretty funny. I rode her. I took Willow on the front of that little Razor bike we were just talking about. And I jumped all the way through the beeline back here in the backyard.
Oh my God.
So it's a pretty, you know, people usually do a video with their kid, like they get on a motorcycle or something, but then they film it. There's like a little dummy wearing the same stuff, or the same, yes, like a kid. So, yeah, I got like a camera right on the handlebar just to see it for her, and she's jumping on the dole. Oh, it's pretty rad. I'm excited to post this in a bit.
I can't wait to see that.
So later on tonight, go check out Barry's social media for that.
Yeah, it'll be live here soon. I finished editing it, went between my gates right before I called you guys. So I don't know. You know, I really hope that's the way it goes. Like I said, I don't plan. I hope what I do with Chase turns into like a team manager role one day. I still ride, but it's just really, it's going to be hard to continue at the level I'm at for a few more years at my age. You know, it's not like I'm 20 with this fire to go to Olympics in 2028, or, you know, it's like, or in 8 years, or whatever the case may be. I just like, I'm on a small window in my last couple years. But I'll still ride. It's like physically, I feel better than most of my 20s. But just mentally, man, it's hard to just get on the gate every time and have someone always kind of nip it, like taking insides on you, or always like, I just got to kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I don't race elite. You know, I would have loved to race elite. I mean, I think I'd still make some mains. I wouldn't say I make every one, but I'm still pretty confident I can make mains in elite. But at the same time, I have zero desire to go get on the gate with a bunch of thriving 20-year-olds, you know? So,
right.
So, I mean, respect. I mean, it's just the top guys like Cam Wood and Isaac Kennedy, Joris Dode, like, I mean, on a normal track, yeah, but Supercross, dude, I don't even care to go that fast anymore. It's just not even.
Okay.
It's not even that you're going fast and hitting big stuff anymore. You're just going so fast and pushing down as hard as you can to ride these tiny jumps, and everyone's bar to bar. There's no separation. It's like, yeah, I'm good. I like my traditional BMX racing nowadays.
You'd mentioned possibly transitioning out and going into like a team manager role. Do you have any other plans past that for post BMX?
No, I'm a BMXer. We're all dumb and don't plan out.
That's a great answer.
No, you know, it's, I mean, I don't, nothing bothered. It doesn't bother me. You know, it's all, there's always something next, you know. Yeah. I'm always working into the future. I'm always working a couple years ahead anyways. And I've made a few smart decisions on things the last couple years. And so it's not really something I'm too worried about. That's, yeah, just where it's just going to be something to stick with. I'm going to do something where I can continue in the sport and help, even if it's one kid, you know, help some kids out in some kind of, I get asked to do coaching a lot. I'm not ready for coaching because, these last couple years have been my smart, just maturing, you know, and maturing and getting rid of all so many distractions I used to have. I can really focus, and so much of my drive for racing now is to one, obviously be the best, that not to be like the champion or be like worlds. Yeah, I want to win, right? I want to be the champ there. But the drive is always just to continue to get better. Older I get, continue to get better, and how I got better and what I've learned from all my mistakes in my 20s, and even like mental prep, you know, like my head game is as strong as can be. Like it wasn't when I was 20 in my 20s, but man, I can sit on the gate and I can look around behind the gate and see all the ones that are already kind of breaking down, you know. And it's just from years of doing it, you know. I'm looking over at a rider on the gate, I'm like, oh yeah, that was me 8 years ago, or that was me at this race, or that was, you know. It's so I'm and nothing against any of those riders, I'm just learning, and I want to find a way to give that back, and somehow, and not just here's your training program, here's your sprints, like, yeah. And I don't really know what that is yet. That's why I don't take on any training or stuff like that, or coaching, because I'm still learning myself, and it is a goal, but I just don't know how I'm gonna attack it.
All right,
well, sounds good.
I still got a couple years to figure out.
Right, yeah.
That's, I got a couple great of chat questions if we don't.
Yeah. Fire them in.
All right, Mr. Nobles. Kevin says, when you first started riding the brand, you were riding aluminum, then you switched to carbon. Which do you prefer?
With Chase, the aluminum?
Yes.
I started riding the aluminum. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. I was riding the RSP at Okeehealy because my carbon frame just wasn't ready yet. I have an RSP. I was just doing gates on my RSP. I like it. I really don't have that much of a preference either. Or I like both the bikes, but at the end of the day, the carbon one is made to be lighter, stiffer, faster, you know? So, and I always kind of make a joke. It's like, I mean, you can have all the best stuff on your bike, but you go forget to take a shit before you go on the gate, you got an extra pound on you, you know. It's like you have to have all the, you need to have all those perfect parts, the lightest stuff, the stiffest stuff, be the lightest you can be, and you have to execute that absolutely perfect gate, you know. You're hair off, you're cut off, you're hair late or hair early, you're heating the gate and blowing it up anyways. So I just think the carbon, it's for that absolute best scenario, which you hope it's in the main event. You know, my aluminum RSP weighs the same amount as my carbon Chase. I have some crazy light wheels on there, and that's the reason. But I mean, even the Chase frame, it's not the lightest carbon frame on the market, but it's damn stiff. You know, that's more important to me than having the lightest one. I mean, we're talking a couple ounces, right? But like I said, go to the bathroom before you get on the gate, and it makes up that difference.
So
you know,
funny. You do not even understand how so we are so excited that you said that, because Justin has been saying that for years. So to hear you say that as a
awesome
professional is
his, I say
his
that
mind
all
is blown.
I use that reference all the time.
Well, you got people that like we're in like the 40 and over class, and you're punching down pizza and beer the night before, talking about carbon rims and spokes and shit, and it's like, go take a dump. Like, go take a dump, right. Have a salad the night before, just take a shit, dude. That'll equal out the weight you're trying to cut off your bike.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, but it all adds up, you know. I talk about 1%ers in my clinics a lot. You know, it's like that every 1% adds up for that perfect gate start, you know, because I mean, if you blow in the gate, if you're late or you're early, it doesn't matter what bike you're on. You can be on a dirt jump bike by that point, you're cut off.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so Mark Van Sock over on Facebook says, Barry, who do you consider your biggest rival, 2-part, current and from the past?
Great question.
Myself. Always myself.
Good answer.
The goal is just to be better than I was at the last one, you know, and that's kind of cliche in a way, but I've never looked at other riders as rivals or anything like that. I just, as long as I go out there and ride how, at least for current day, Barry, as long as I go out there and ride how I know I'm capable of, don't make mistakes, then I can win. And it's as simple as that. And that's the way I view it in my head, you know?
That makes sense to me.
Nice. Yeah.
Everyone's a rival, you know. You're on the gate. There's 7 other guys that make that main event. Everyone has a chance to win. You know, anything can happen. There can be a wreck anywhere. Your seat can fall off. You know,
that is true.
Anyone has a chance to win. So everyone's my rival. If I'm on the gate with you, you're my rival, and I'm. But at the end of the day, I'm not focusing on you. I'm focusing on my own process and making sure I don't make mistakes.
I like that.
I like that a lot, actually. Yeah.
And even back in AA, you know, I think AA is different. I don't have it now, like I was just saying, but in the AA class, yes, I think like when Joris and Connor were going back and forth the titles, you know, I mean, they were teammates and they were rivals, you know, like I'm sure they didn't want to be on the gate next to each other and stuff like that. So, but I was never that guy back when, I mean, it's been many years since I was winning AA races. And even in the year that I won a bunch of races, I was still kind of the same, you know, it's just like, I knew I was fast enough. I knew I was capable. It didn't matter. Everyone on that gate has a chance. All I have to do is go and execute my lap. And I knew I could win. And yeah, I've never actually thought about that. But yeah, looking back, that's kind of how my thought process was. The year 2008 was the year I won a bunch of nationals. And yeah, I was never worried about one person on the gate. It was just like, just solely focusing on go through your process. Do execute what you can do, and then you'll beat these guys.
I like that. Real quick, I just wanted to give a special shout out to a lot of our fans and supporters that are actually in Glasgow already. So hi, Victor Alvarez and the Joneses, Avery and her dad, Nick, are also there.
Yeah.
And then quick little flip. Ryan Baumgartner was just curious, what kind of editing software do you use with all your YouTube videos and all the social media?
For my YouTube stuff, I just use iMovie. I used to use Final Cut, and it's too many options. Vlogs are so basic and straightforward to just cut and chop up, throw a couple texts in there when you need to. It's like, Final Cut was just too much. I had access to too many things. So I just went back to iMovie, and it just kind of brought in my focus and just like, okay, let's just get this done. I just found I was wasting time with, ooh, this is a new feature, and we spent 20 minutes learning a new feature, you know. And I have so many things. Everything is about time management nowadays. I have so many moving parts in my lifestyle, and like just last night, I got my summer tour video put out. Normally, when I do a race vlog, I'm trying to put it out by Monday or Tuesday. Now it's like I don't actually get it out till the following Friday, which sucks, and then I got back 2 weeks ago from this trip, and I just now finished the video. So it's just time management is just very important to me, and it has not been enough time in the day lately. So it's a long answer to your question. I use iMovie because it's just quick.
I like that. That's good to know.
That's what we edited the opening with.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same thing, man. So, I had all that other fancy stuff, and I'm like, no, this just works.
Yeah, it's just too much. Yeah. You might have a couple cool things here and there, but it's like, it's not bringing any more quality to my videos than my drone does. You know, it's like that just But again, having drone clips brought so much extra quality to my videos. It's like that makes up the difference right there.
Yeah. You do a great job with the videos. I mean, well, shoot, you got what, 160,000 followers on YouTube. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you. It's man, it's just kind of, I don't know what video did it, but yeah, I was going, man, I was there for a while. It was every day. I was 1,000 subscribers around Rock Hill time frame. It was crazy. I don't know what it did. And like, I know you gotta chase these algorithms and stuff, but at the same time, it's just like, I'm just gonna post what I think is cool, and I'll post it whenever I'm around to posting it. If it works out, it works out. If not, it works out. But I have been posting on Facebook a lot more lately because I don't like, I'll post stuff on Facebook and just never go and check it. Facebook's like my last thing I check. And dude, I got like a few videos that are well into the millions, and I'm like, that video was in the millions. You know, it's like, so I've been trying to push a lot more on Facebook. I got a lot of million view videos over there.
That's
And
because
my old video from last year, was the Instagram. I don't remember if it was Instagram or YouTube Shorts, but it's like, I mean, this is a broad, it's like 70 million views or something. It
holy
could be like
cow.
20, 25 million, but I don't know why 70 million's in my head. But is it like 20 something million or 70 something million? But either or, it's like huge. And
That's
it was the
insane.
race, and yeah, just Oldsmar National last October with Tuan and I. Just a race like any other race. Like I whole shot it and raced. You know, it was like nothing different, but I don't know what did that video just took off.
You can't count us old guys over on Facebook out.
Oh yeah, I'm back in the
I
Facebook
mean,
is actually just about to pass my
yeah.
Instagram following.
You guys.
Instagram's always been my main focus, and now that's about to be third on the chain.
Uh-huh. I could see
We
that.
need to get a little bit of that magic over this way.
Yeah,
And it took
yeah.
me years and years to get here.
Well, hey, hard work pays off.
Chris, did you have a question? Otherwise, I do. I know
Yeah, well,
you keep getting second.
I have a couple things I was going to hit.
Go for
Like,
it.
save yours. We'll do yours
Yeah,
after mine.
yeah, yeah.
The number 95, any significance to that?
No, nothing. It was I wanted 56 and when the first year UCI numbers, and I missed it. Some Colombian, I forget his name, Colombian rider got 56, and I was like the first generation of UCI numbers, so we had a good range of to pick from double digits. And I happened to look down on the floor and I saw my number plate upside down. It was 95. I was like, oh, 95 is cool. And just little things through life, it's funny how it's like, it's just kind of worked out. You know, it's like,
Yeah.
oh, look, 95, 95. You know, it's just one of those you hear it and you see it. And but like Robbie Miranda was the guy I looked up to when I was a kid, and he was 59. So it's like his numbers reverse. The last two of my social is 95, which was I didn't even realize till years later. And just like little coincidences like that, you know. And I
That's
mean, and 9 to 5, you know, I'm trying to push it like the 9 to 5 brand. It's like,
yeah.
this is my 9 to 5, you know.
Right.
And that's kind of another kind of play on words that I want 9 to 5 to be, you know, kind of like an inspiration to live your 9 to 5, whatever.
Okay. All right.
Without putting a 2 in the middle, you know?
Yeah.
I try to make this 9 to 5 work in this way. Maybe if I just talk about it in podcasts enough, people will think when I'm like, oh, I know what he's doing. I like that.
Absolutely,
Yeah, for
absolutely.
sure. No, it's cool.
Melissa, did you have anything else?
Oh yeah. Well, I was just gonna
Oh.
ask if Chris was done.
Yeah, go ahead.
George Goodall wanted to know if you were superstitious at all, and if there's any things that you do or have to do before you race.
To a point, there is. I'll be superstitious on things in the moment at a race. Like, if something odd happened at a semi or in a third moto, and that moto was better than the other ones, I'll repeat that. But I don't like to hold on to things and switch it into the next day or anything. And I think some of that superstitious stuff is just setting yourself up for that, for a possible explosion, you know, like you have a special pair of socks or you have these special underwear. And I'm a very I really like man, like I'm very big into manifesting, you know, and just kind of putting stuff out there. And I just think like that's just setting me up. Say I have these socks or these underwear, and then I fall and I rip them. And
Yep.
but I've had this great season with these underwear, and mentally I'm just putting out this negative energy that I don't have those underwear now, or whatever the case, you know. And when none of that stuff is actually makes a difference at the end of the day, you know, whether you're super like it doesn't actually, it's not the actual outcome, it's just how we portray it because of that. And yeah, so I try not to I try not to stick around that stuff, because I think it's very easily can screw you up getting the wrong
Yeah, I think that's
path
true.
down a year, you know.
Yep.
But I will say I don't do pro-ams anymore. That's no more pro-ams for me after November last year. So
Fair. Fair,
right on.
fair.
Did you have anything?
Yeah, I was going to ask, and I don't know if you were part of the Helltrack rebuild event they did a couple, was a couple 3 years ago now.
Yep.
How was that? I mean, was it hard to ride that thing, or?
The cereal bowl was kind of weird, that's for sure. No, it was weird. I mean,
Just different.
it was just different, you know, like it was cool because of what it was, but I would never just like, hey, let's go ride that track, you know, like I once I left, it was like that was a great experience. I was so happy to actually be a part of that whole thing. But yeah, I'm good. Yeah,
I remember
it was
seeing.
cool just because of what it is. And I mean,
Yeah.
I was just like you guys, you know, like was watching Rad as a kid before I even was riding bikes. And I think Rad was 86 or 80, or 85. What is
86,
it?
86.
And yeah, the year I was born. So that's
Oh my
technically
gosh.
four. Yeah, I
It's a
was
year I
born in
graduated
2008.
high school.
Dude, I was doing gates last night with a buddy who lives just nearby, and he's like a fast kid. And Sawyer Holly, and he was like, we're talking, me and another buddy were talking about another local Oak Mountain guy, and that we grew up together. And we were talking about this race and that race, and we were talking about the NBL Grands, the 2000. And I was like, yeah, 2003. And he's like, oh, that was the year I was born. I'm like, what? And it just, I mean, I'm out there, I do gates with this kid. Like, he's a fast rider. And yeah, it was just, man, it was just such a light bulb. It was like, man, I forget how like, you're 20 years old, 20 years, 2023. Like, I had to have my daughter was born in 2020. Like, that's sounds crazy. Not now, but in 18 years, it's like, what the hell? It's crazy.
Well, it'll fly by, you know, all of a sudden she'll be graduating high school before you know it. So
It's already happening, man.
yeah,
I
dude.
hate it.
Yeah.
I'm a little girl. Way too
Enjoy her
fast.
all you can while you can.
Just
I
a
do.
quick
Dude,
plug
that stuff
too.
every
Yeah, go
day.
for it.
Rad is going to be in movie theaters in 2 weeks
Is it?
on a Thursday night. You can, yeah.
Hey, we
I just
should.
stumbled across as somebody shared it on social media, and I looked it up, and it'll actually be down the road from us in the
Oh,
by
right.
Waterford,
Oh,
at the
MJR?
yeah.
Oh.
But it's nationwide, so if
Oh, is
you
that
haven't
the.
watched it 976 times on your DVD or VHS tape, you can actually go see it in the movie theaters.
We should
I
set
forget
up
when they did
some.
that again. They had that.
A
We had
couple.
one in my local theater. We
Yep.
had it playing, and a group of the BMXers. I forgot I couldn't go or something, and I kind of hate I missed that. So I'll have to watch out for that again if it's coming back through.
I'll kick you over the link for it, and you just put your zip
Yeah.
code in, and it tells you the theater that's by you. And it's something to do with Mystery Science Theater 3000 is doing the release on it and stuff like that. But I was like, wow, Rad's going to be in there. That's cool.
We should just try and get a bunch of people to go to the same one, or you know, if there's more than one showing or whatever, and
One
everybody just.
showing, 8 o'clock
Yeah.
on a Thursday.
All right,
Yep. Yeah.
everybody
Gotta get
around
a BMX
Michigan,
family to go.
Yeah.
let's go to MJR in Waterford.
Dress up as Mike Miranda.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the only person to dress up as.
Yeah. Crash going in there.
Your pink gear on.
quick question for you. So we're gonna transition into lightning round here in a few seconds, but had a couple quick questions. What is your favorite? We can go kind of call it. We go race. We'll go race or track. Or you want to go with the answer on this one? What's your favorite race on the race or track on the Pro Series?
I think it have to might have to be Hardesty. I really like that track. That track's just it's just got a good size heel. It's good. I just really like the traditional BMX stuff. It's like Supercross is cool. I love the Supercross stuff in my time, but I don't Supercross now just isn't what it used to be, and I think that big heel is just unnecessary. I just like the traditional stuff, and Hardesty is just a good one. They got a good size heel, long first straightaway, technical track, long track in general, and it's such an amazing track. It works. These tracks that have these split heels, it's the small heel sucks. It's like first heel. I take that back. Houston's pretty good. Houston, as far as how the first turn works, I'm not the biggest fan of the track, but that one works. But it's just the amateur side doesn't work as good with these new shared first turns, and but it works good at Hardesty, and I really like that race. And then it's at the headquarters of BMX, so yeah, it's just cool to be there. And then I like Tulsa. Tulsa's rad. Nothing beats the experience of Grands. Grand, like there's nothing like the greatest race on earth, so
There's a reason.
yeah, I'd say Hardesty for the track, but as a whole, Grand's experience is pretty badass.
All right.
Yeah. All
And
right.
next one for you is somebody that's got some sponsorships outside of the sport. How, in your perspective, your view, how can the sport of BMX bring in outside sponsors?
Oh man, that's a can of worms. I don't even think it should be talking. I
All
should be
right.
speaking on.
That's fine.
Hey, that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we shoot ourselves in the foot at the same time.
Okay.
We're such a great sport, but yeah, I think we're also bad about just shooting ourselves in the foot. So
All right.
yeah, I'll leave it at that.
I've always said it's the greatest sport hardly anyone knows about.
I don't know why it doesn't have that its own traction. It's like, what about the sport? Like mountain biking is just has this huge growth. I mean, every mom and dad can go grab buy a mountain bike and they can just go out to the trail and ride whenever. So then the accessibility of a BMX track's not that easy. So that's one thing. And so you're not gonna just go buy a BMX bike to play, pedal out in the street. So it's like, is that the reason it doesn't have the just natural progression of it? Industry wise, I mean, we can only the parts are so basic. You can only change a carbon fork or carbon wheels so many times. So it's like, where's the value? I mean, there's so much more value in a mountain bike. And yeah, I don't know. Even like motocross, but even motocross, it's like it's such an expensive sport. But you can go jump on a dirt bike and have a great time in a field out back. So I don't know. I'm always wondering, like, why? What about BMX doesn't allow it to have this natural growth? But shit, the way nationals are, we don't need the sport to be any bigger. We can't even get through weekend
No
racing as
kidding.
it is. Good. That's the you want to talk about that. That's the conversation I want to talk about. Is how we make it. Like, it'll never happen because I understand. I see it from the athlete rider side, but also see it from the business side of USA BMX. And why would you cut all this off, cut out races? But man, the amount of like, I mean, I novices shouldn't be at a national. You got to earn your way. It's like Loretta Lynn's for motocross. It's like you got to earn. You should earn your way. Like you should earn. You should go to your gold cups. Your race. I don't know how local scene works, but race your locals, get your gold cups. You got to race X amount of gold cups to get into the rankings of a national and kick novices out, kick open out. Like get intermediates, experts, and our small little window of pro guys in there. In the grand scheme of things, like we're such a small number, but it's like, man, I feel like just. But I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands of dollars entry fees and less people. But how much nicer would a race weekend be when like end it and
You're
everybody's
that's
having
you're
beers in the pits because racing's over,
Yes.
Preaching to the choir.
That's that like balancing act, right? You want it to grow, but damn, you're 8, 9, 10 hours, at the track a day, and
14.
Or yeah. Look at Grands.
Yeah.
Like Grands.
20-hour day.
Dude, I remember going to Grands and half that arena just being a play area.
Yeah.
You know, like, just go ride around. It's like, it's not even. You have to earn your, you should have to earn your way to Grants. You know, it's just, it's everybody gets that participation award. You can go to Grant, which is great, right? I don't want to knock anyone, but it's like, man, we got to a point where you should have to earn your way to Grants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there should be some type of like point system or qualification, something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what it is, but at the same time, it's a good problem to have. Look at how it's growing. Look at all these people that are coming. But
right.
Yeah. It like I said, it's this whole balancing act of where's too much, where's not enough, and you want to try and make everything grow, and it's hard to hit all that. You know, that's you know.
Well, there's an
USA BMX has a hard job with that, man.
There's an international model that's very similar to what we're talking about, where you earn your way up into the national scene, then you have the trade off, like Barry was saying, like it's a lot of money that's coming in.
It's that's it's a business at the end of the day, so it's like, well. No, we can argue this forever, but it's like they're making the money, so whatever. It's you guys have a great business plan. Good job. You know, you can only appreciate it. Like,
well, I mean, and that's true too. I mean, people aren't in business to lose money or give a shut the door on potential money. And I get that. I mean, as being part of a business, you want to make money. It's not giving it away. We're not going to give away if we can sell this product, you know. So it's a tough spot for those guys at USA BMX.
At the end of the day, cutting all that stuff out, it just makes it more convenient for us as a spectator. You know, it's like it's like, well, we can make less money just to have you guys to have a better experience, or we can keep making our same amount of money. You're gonna be here anyways, and you're still gonna have these podcasts talk about how much you love BMX at the end of the day.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
So I get it. I like to I like having the discussion and talk about it and knowing nothing's really gonna change. But
as soon as I hit that Mega Millions, it's all over.
Right.
Yeah, peacing out.
Tonight?
it's tonight. Peacing out. You're podcast right done.
Yep.
Buying a motorhome and just following around the circus.
Either that or we get some really nice equipment. I don't know.
Our own private satellites.
There you go. Hey, I got one more for you.
All right.
Alabama Slamma. Where'd that come from? Who gave you that?
Don't even know. It's been around, so I don't know. Maybe an announcer. Maybe Redmond. I don't even know. Like, okay. Don't know where it started. When it first started, I believe. I was thinking I had it on one of my old AA checks, Alabama Slammer, but then that would at least put like a timestamp on it, you know?
Right.
But I think it just evolved. I hated it back in the day, you know, like I just did not like it, especially when I was living in California. Just ego. Now, I mean, I love Alabama. Now I'm very proud to be from Alabama, and just growing pains of being a naive kid, you know?
I didn't
make it. Someone else did, but I couldn't tell you who. I don't remember.
Well, the best nicknames are not given to ourselves, or we receive them. We don't create them.
That is very true, Melissa.
Yeah, all right, we're gonna jump into the trivia question, and following that, we're gonna put Barry in the hot seat for our rapid fire segment.
Fair warning: I freeze out when I get questions. So.
They're easy.
Yeah.
All right, now this question is about you, Barry, so don't answer it.
Yeah, don't answer this one. This is Melissa's trivia question, sponsored by Bombshell Racing Systems.
You got a good one, Melissa?
I mean, who knows?
Okay. Is the one you told her? You told
yes.
Her? Okay, yeah, it's good.
Hey. We do know the answer is not Tom Brady. That's all we know.
That is true. All right. To the winner, I have one of our sponsor sticker packs here going out. I got, although I hate to imagine we're anywhere near needing this, but a Ghettoware. Sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. Ghettoware, not Gateware. Beanie. Boy. It's all that vertigo. And then a Bombshell t-shirt going out to the winner.
Hey.
I want to know, what is the name of the small town that Barry was originally from. So what small town is Barry from?
I want to hear someone pronounce it.
Well,
we can call him.
My goal was to try to make you say it because I didn't think I was going to be able to say it very well. I might give it a try, but wait.
Are people answering in the chat?
Yeah, they're going to answer in the chat. And then when we come back after lightning round, I'll let you say it.
Okay. All right.
All right. We're going to move into lightning round. And it's on point there. And Lightning Round is brought to you by 110 Nutrition. 110 Nutrition's mission is delivering the highest quality product and service in the supplement industry. Make sure you guys visit them at 110 Nutrition. And earlier today, we posted on our social media pages that if you guys don't know, when you make your order, you can select a nonprofit. And is it 10% of your order? It's a percentage of your order goes to that nonprofit. So if your track is a nonprofit, just search your track.
And BMX tracks on there. Yeah.
When you're ordering, they kick back to your local track. All right. It is rapid fire lightning round, Barry. So we're going to fire off some questions at you. First thing that comes into your head, that's your answer. All right, Chris, you want to take it away?
Okay, here we go. Last movie you watched that you liked so much you've seen it twice?
Oh, what's the name of it? The Spaceman, Interstellar.
Oh,
good pick.
Okay.
All right.
Favorite sport other than BMX and other than mountain biking?
Can it be two wheels?
Yes.
Of course.
I don't do any other sports. Ride dirt bikes.
Okay. All
right. So supercross it is.
One place you'd like to travel to that you haven't been to?
Haven't been to Japan.
Okay.
Hey, there you go. All right. What's the last thing you Googled?
I think time zone. You guys. This
yep. That was probably it. That's probably true.
What time zone is Detroit in?
Yeah. All right, Barry, what is the favorite thing you like to do on a date with your wife?
Drive-in movie. We have this spot we go to and we have a babysitter open up the doors, set up the bed in the back of the van, and just watch the drive-in movie.
Oh, I love that.
Nice.
That is cool.
Especially in a nice comfy Sprinter van.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it helps.
It beats the bed of the F-150.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, with a blanket, right?
What's one sport that you would never try?
Never say never.
All right.
That's a good answer.
What's your favorite show to watch?
The Office.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What superpower do you wish you had?
Fly.
All right. I think I might know the answer to this one. When it comes to bike frames, your favorite, aluminum, carbon, or chrome alloy?
Depends on what I'm doing, you know? I love carbon. Carbon's just a cool feeling bike, but I mean, nothing rides as smooth as a chromoly bike does. A chromoly, I mean, they're flexi bikes, so they just ride good, but I mean, I love all things two wheels, you know, so if it's a bicycle, give me a couple laps, it's gonna feel like anything else. I'm not one that's ever been good for like R&D on bike parts or something, because I can jump on any one of your bikes and give me two or three laps and it's just gonna feel like another bicycle to me. So but I love carbon. Carbon's just cool, you know. It's just such it's the sport has progressed so far, it's come so far, and BMX, like a good race bike, is just so badass nowadays.
Shoot, you jumped on my bike, you'd be the fastest that thing ever went. If you could go back and ask your and give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, what would it be?
You know, another long answer to your question. I wouldn't. I don't think I would, because if I were to give myself any advice, which I should, but I don't think I'd be doing what I am today.
Uh-huh.
I would have gone a different direction in BMX, maybe won a couple different championships or a couple more races, whatever the case, and might have hung it up for now. So every decision I've made in BMX is why I'm still doing it at 36 years old now and still living the life of a double A pro. So, which again, I'm very grateful for that. And I wouldn't, if I went back to see my 18-year-old self, I wouldn't take that chance to mess that up.
All right.
I think that's an excellent answer.
So you don't want to alter the future.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
That means it's my turn. What is your favorite guilty pleasure?
Foods, bad foods. I just had a big ass thing of pad thai before I did this, you know, and just full of calories, food I didn't need, but I worked hard this week, so
Was that bef was
I
that
did a fast
before?
week, so I got one. But yeah, pizza and like pad thai are my weaknesses.
Did you have the pad thai before those sprints we saw you doing, or was that after?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And I told myself I was gonna eat it afterwards,
Okay.
but it showed up. My wife Ubered it. It showed up. I was like, I'll just have a few bites and ate like three quarters of it.
I know how that goes.
Yeah. So my times are a little off out
A few seconds heavier.
There you go.
No, they were good. They were top notch.
There you go.
So what is the most annoying thing about yourself?
My OCD.
Okay.
Yeah. Drives me crazy sometimes.
Stuff's got to be in its place, man.
Oh yeah, everything's got its place.
What's your favorite genre of music?
I've never been a big music guy. As far as like, what's this band? Name this band. I'm just kind of whatever I'm feeling, whatever's hot in the moment. I do, older I get, I am really liking my 90s and early 2000 rock. You know, I'm starting to become that old guy. It's like, oh, they don't make this music like they used to, you know,
Yes.
My
that
God.
bullshit, you know. But
Early
yeah, it's like, and I do it and I'm like, God, you've reached that stage, you
2000s.
know.
Get off my lawn.
And so yeah, just I yeah, so to answer your question, I would say late 90s, early 2000
Okay.
rock is like my high school music. I'm really starting to listen to more. Like I'm still a Pandora guy, you know. I mean, I'll listen to the radio if I knew what the local station was, but I feel like they don't even exist anymore.
Right.
But my wife makes fun of me because she's younger. She's 28, and so she's like, "You need to get on Spotify. You can do all that." I'm like, just let it give me whatever. I don't want to pick. Just
Right.
let it give me what it gives me. I'll listen to that. I'm
Just want to
fine, you know.
listen.
Like. The girls would go to sleep in the back of the van on a road trip, and I'll drive 4 or 5 hours just in silence.
Been there.
Wow.
Ooh,
There's
been
no
there.
way.
I do that very regularly.
Oh my
Just being
gosh.
long thoughts.
What's your favorite type of cookie?
Cookie, chocolate chip, for
Okay,
sure.
okay.
Can't go wrong.
What's one thing that people are generally surprised to find out about you? Maybe it's like a hidden talent or something that you have like a hobby on the side that people don't know about.
I've been posting a lot of just my hobbies online on social lately. I mean, for the past, I mean, I always really have, but lately I feel like I've been posting a lot new ones. Like I have like a partnership with Heart Tools, and so that kind of allows me to get creative with some stuff and just like, I'm gonna post this. And because I've posted a lot of like that DIY stuff, it's kind of, I think that's kind of surprised a lot of people on just seeing a side of me that no one really gets to see. I don't want to, that's, this sounds like I'm not a different person, but like the racer Barry that you see me at races, like I am that guy. But when I'm here, like when I'm here at home, like there's a whole nother side of me, you know, that people don't really get to experience. And even just having conversations, like you guys, like how many times have I rambled on with one question? Do you know, like I'm an open book. So I think when people just spend a lot of time around me, they realize, or all my clinic riders, they realize I talk a lot. And I'm just very hands-on with a lot of stuff. And it's, I mean, it kind of shows if you followed my whole career, like other pros I've trained with over the years, I just get so distracted and I want to experience so many different things. And I've cut out a lot of those experiences I wanted to do, and I've really learned how to kind of tunnel in my focus lately. And I mean, and it showed in my writing. And yeah, but even then, like, as much as I've really toned that the distractions down, man, when I'm home, like, if you guys saw, if all, you only saw half the stuff I did, it's pretty wild.
Actually, that was
Most of the cool stuff, but just the stuff I do every day, it's like,
nice. Yeah, that I was going to ask you about some of that stuff when we were doing. We'll say that for Moto too, I guess.
All right, you gotta
Oh, I'm next. I'm
you have the
sorry.
lightning round question sent in by Mike Miller.
Okay.
And this one had me, I like
It's
this one. I like
pretty
this one.
wild, actually. So, all right, picture this. You're driving through a parking lot. You turn down a row. There's a parking spot on the left and the right across from each other. Which one do you pull into?
Well, I like to park by the shopping cart, so it depends on where the shopping carts are.
Bang. All right.
What's the, is there a meaning to turning left or turning right?
No, it's just like a pick, you know.
Chris put a thing up on like questions you guys would like to have us fire off on lightning round, and this was one that Mike put in there that
Yeah.
we copied and dropped in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I pull in a parking spot and I look for the shopping cart return.
Hey, everybody's different, man.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
Are you a peanut butter connoisseur?
peanut butter, yep. Well,
Are
one
you?
or too much. That's another weakness.
Okay, preference for creamy or crunchy?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't
Depends
matter.
on, one day I'm feeling creamy, one day I'm feeling crunchy. I
All
love the
right,
There you
peanut
go.
butter. All right.
All right, this is the last question for lightning round.
Can
It's
we
a
add
tough one.
one more? Favorite Supercross racer?
BMX Supercross
No,
or Moto?
motocross. Monster Energy Supercross. How's that?
I mean, if it doesn't have to be current, I'd say James Stewart. I always loved watching Bubba.
Yeah, buddy. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Justin.
That's all right. All right, last question. It's a tough one here. Oh shit, I gotta rephrase this one. Your typical favorite Wednesday Night Live BMX live streaming podcast show that is currently being streamed on Tuesday night. What is your favorite show?
This one.
There you go.
All right.
All right.
ATV.
That's right.
All right, Melissa.
Yes.
Do we have a
I
winner?
do. I A couple people did get it right. Brian Brown over on Facebook was the first answer to come in correctly.
And
Okay.
how do we pronounce that, Melissa?
It all depends on where the T goes because I want to say Wetumpka.
What about you guys? Chris, Justin.
Oh,
Can you
you don't
see
want
it?
you don't want me to.
Wetumpka?
Wetumpka?
I know.
I can't see it.
Oh, it's WET.
Melissa, right. Melissa, you're
You
right.
got
You're
it,
spot
Melissa.
on.
Nice.
It's pretty straightforward.
Wetumpka. I was
Wetumpka.
making it harder than it needed to be. So,
Yeah,
and
Wetumpka.
you were born there?
Well, I was born in Montgomery, but it's just the next little
Okay.
tidbit. Next little
How
city
long did
over.
you live in that town?
Up until right out of high school, I
Okay.
moved to Kennesaw, Georgia for a year
Okay.
to live with my buddy Jason Larev, just to train. It was like the beginning of my pro days.
Okay.
Moved back home after that. I spent a lot of time. I had a girlfriend down in Florida for about 3 years, so I spent a lot of time at the Okeeheli track, was my local track for about 3 years. And then 2009, I got the call to move to the training center in Chula Vista. Yeah, and as soon as I got that call, I dropped everything. I was like,
See
yep, let's
ya.
go.
Bye.
And yeah, I moved out there with, like, I mean, I got asked to go there for we got time for this story?
Of
Pretty
course.
funny.
We have all the time you have.
So yeah, I got an email from Mike King at USA Cycling. This was at the end of 2008, that year I was winning a bunch of nationals, and that was like first year of the Olympics. I wasn't doing World Cup stuff, but I had a good year. You know, I wasn't really following, wasn't following World Cups, wasn't following the Olympic stuff. I was very clueless to all of that stuff, to be honest. But then I got an email from Mike King inviting me out to the Olympic Training Center to prep Copenhagen, Denmark, which was the first World Cup of the 2009 World Cup series. I mean, and I was like, I just gotta call from the director of this whole deal, you know? So I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going, like, dropped everything. I was in South Florida at the time, drove 12 hours to my parents' house, unloaded, repacked, left the next day. But I left the next day that I'm moving to California. I'm going to California when there was no date of return, you know? But that email, that was for a 2-week camp. And that was it, you know, like 2 weeks leading into Copenhagen. And then after Copenhagen, like, you fly back home, you're going to drive back, you know? It was just like, cool, let's just roll the dice. We're going for it. Packed up a bunch of my stuff like I was moving. Again, I was going for 2 weeks. But in my head, there was no return. Ended up going to Copenhagen, won my first moto, second my second moto, was winning my third moto, came unclipped in the third straightaway, stomped my leg, blew my knee out. Done. So, blew my knee out there, flew back to Chula Vista, and now I'm obviously on the injured list, got to get surgery. And then I got asked, like, well, if you want to move in and do all your rehab here, then you have a bed. So, boom, all right, my roll in the dice of 2 weeks just turned into possible a year, you know. So I flew home. We have a very well-known knee surgeon here in Birmingham, Alabama. Flew home, had surgery from him. I was home for a couple weeks, and then flew back to California, Chula Vista, and did all my rehab and to get ready for the rest of the season, or to get ready for the next season at that time. And then I was just riding again by the last World Cup, which was France that year. And obviously I didn't go because I wasn't ready. And then after that World Cup, I was like, all right, World Cup season's over. Everybody's got to go home. Wow. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I mean, my rehab is done. I mean, kind of done. I was on the better end. It's just, but my time was up. Like, oh, no. Like, I need to go back to California. I don't want to go home, you know? So I ended up moving home. And that was like October, November, moved home for a couple months, and then by April the next year, I was driving back to California, moving there officially. And I was there for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool. And crazy, I was starting with just an email for a 2-week camp.
Yeah, crazy, right? How things.
And then literally moved, I left California like almost to the month, like within 2 months of like my 10-year anniversary of being there. And wow. I had enough of that place. Like, I couldn't get out of there soon enough when I did.
Wasn't it at you were coming home around the X Games?
Yeah, that was a whole nother bad decision. I decided to do all that. I got invited to X Games in the middle of buying this house I'm in now. And yeah, I was just like, where I'm going, it was just spur of the moment. Like, I wanted to move out to like Charlotte area, be near Rock Hill, or be out in, not specifically for Rock Hill. Just, I liked Charlotte area. I liked Nashville area. And then I just accidentally found this house I'm in. It just fell in my lap at a good price, low bottom. They accepted the offer. Within 2 weeks, I had my life of 10 years in California packed up and buying my friend. I didn't see this house till I got here. My mom came up and checked it out. I had her, she's in my power of attorney for stuff like that. So I was like, can you just sign it? I'll send money, whatever. And so we bought the house all sight unseen. They saw it, but I didn't. And and I was just packed up, like, we're going back to Alabama. And it was right. And then through that whole process, I got invited to X Games. I'm like, what the hell? Like, how do I pay for this? And my life was just got kind of flipped over upside down at that time. So it was like, shit, everything was just all over the place, you know? Yeah. It all worked out great. But it was just a very chaotic, stressful time of my life. And it all worked out.
That's all, things work out for a reason.
That's it.
Wow.
We're going to plug next week's guest real quick. Yep. Chris, you want to let them know who's going to be on next week?
Sure.
All right. Oh, Greg.
Sister Greg Harrison's going to be our guest next week, next Wednesday, not Tuesday, Wednesday. So make sure you check that out. We're going to talk to one of our USA BMX national announcers and get some insight into what goes on in the announcing gig there.
Yep. I've been going out to Cobb County a lot, and Greg's always announcing the locals, and makes you feel like you're at a national when you hear his voice on the mic.
I bet.
That is kind of, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
I've scrolled through and actually seen people like Facebook Living from there, and you're like, stop. I'm like, oh, that's Greg announcing at the local. Like,
yeah.
It's not a national. What is
no,
that?
No, it's not.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, man, so, we can hang out if you want. We can jump out. It's been about 2 hours. It's up to you. We always do Moto 2. And, we are more than happy to have you back on.
Yeah.
We can talk about the world when you come back. Looking forward
to it. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Awesome. So what I'll do is I'll hand it over to you. And you can go out and take us away, give some shout outs, and we'll call it we'll wrap it up. And before we sign off, we'll sign off and then just hang on for a second afterwards.
Stay on the Zoom for a minute.
We'll get a date when you come back. All right. So we're going to toss it over to Barry. Once again, Barry, thanks for coming on. And we're going to toss it over to you.
Oh, man, I've said enough. You know, I did my sponsor plugs. Thank Mercedes, Chase, Fly, Maxxis, ODI, 95 Merch. You know, we've talked about all that. So there's my plug. And thank you guys, All Things BMX, for having me back on. This is awesome, you know. And I live out in the country, and just me and my wife and my daughter, you know. So it's fun being able to get on here and actually just be in Oakenbrook and chat about stuff we all love, you know. And it's not, you guys had some good questions that are outside of what I normally get, which was really cool. Made it fun for me. So I appreciate you guys having me on. I enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah. You're welcome back anytime. If you got something going on, something happening, let us know. We'll jump on there with you.
Yep.
Cool. All right. We'll do it.
Good deal. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm going to, my little quickie little thing, you know, USA BMX National Schedule 2024 is out. Go check that out. We'll see everybody next week with Greg Harrison. God bless you. Have a great night. I'm going to shoot over to Justin.
Once again, I want to thank everybody that tuned in this evening, and you guys that are listening afterwards, watching afterwards. Thanks, man. We don't without you guys, we don't really have a reason to do this. So we appreciate it. It's always a fun time. Again, one more time, thanks to Barry. You guys, make sure you check us out. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook. Give us a like and follow on all those social media outlets, YouTube and Apple, all of those places.
Oh, yeah. Spotify.
Oh, God.
Anywhere you get a podcast from.
That's right.
How's that?
That sounds good to me, you guys.
Like and subscribe to our YouTube. We need help on YouTube. our YouTube is everything dragging.
Else is outpacing the growth over there.
Our YouTube needs danger snacks, man.
It does. You guys have a great night. Good night, and God bless. We'll see you guys next week. I got Moto. I got Moto.